Before we get started today, I should let you in on a couple of things going on behind the scenes. As you might imagine, some days we get together and the conversation flows freely and we all have great energy and things are fantastic and we actually go for hours recording. Some days, not so much. The episode that I'm about to play you recorded last night, we only recorded for 15 minutes. The episode itself that you're going to hear is 9 minutes long, which after editing, it shouldn't have been, but what happens is that on those longer nights, I section off parts of the discussion that would go good as add-ons to dovetail into other episodes. So what you're getting today is a hybrid of our check-in last night and a discussion we had a few days ago. Now this brings me to what's happening with the questions that you guys are sending in during NaNoWriMo and the few that didn't air before NaNoWriMo started. Those also will drop in when we run out of discussions, as we inevitably will as the month goes on and we all get more tired. So, if you are having questions occasioned by these discussions or just from your own struggles, keep sending them in. We've already got a slate of a few questions that are going to drop throughout the month. We could use more. And finally, if you're playing the home game and want to send in your NaNoCast check-ins, send me a voice file of 45 seconds or less, and we will drop it into the episode on the day that I get it. And you will be able to participate as you go as much as you like. And if too many people participate, I'll figure out some way to triage it. But right now we don't have anyone, so the slots are wide open. Anyway, that's enough of me yabbering. Let's get to the main body of the cast, where many of us are yabbering. Or jabbering, if you're not German.
Hi there.
Are you suddenly discovering your microphone?
I did.
Well, hello, this brings us to day 3 debrief of our respective insanity for NaNoWriMo this year. Today we have a partial crew again, because Dee Dee is still sick, so sick she's in fact comatose. I got a note from her early this morning saying, I'm not going to be anywhere. So I'm assuming that she has no word count today. And Tori was swamped with work and so is not able to come in today. We're waiting to see if there is a word count report from her or not. We may get a message in the course of the cast. But until then, we do have... Oh, hold on. We have
a message. Tori's word count for today is, in fact, 780 words.
Excellent!
Putting the rest of us to shame. Well, not all of us.
Not all of us, but...
me.
Congratulations, Tori. All right, so let's get our word counts out of the way right away. What was yours, Ben?
So this is the first day I've written, day 3, and my word count is 415.
Excellent. Kitty, how about you?
I had 330 new words today.
Congratulations. I had 2,058, so I'm now officially ahead of schedule, where 5,000 would be 10% of the way, and I'm at 5,444 total for the NaNoWriMo project.
Excellent.
I'm glad we're competing with ourselves.
I know. Yeah. I have an unfair advantage by several dozen books.
True enough.
Anyone have anything they want to talk about, or is this a really quick... really quick check-in today.
I guess the one other thing I have to report on the writing front is that I've realized that I'm not just working on one story this month, because I'm working on the NaNo story, but then I'm not able to step away from my bigger project that I'm working on. So, and I'm not willing to give up the NaNo story, so I'm going to be working on both of them.
Well, I do have a second column for you up there. So.
Oh, okay. I may need it. Yeah.
Are you setting it in the same world, or is it just sort of the same thematic material? Or similar thematic
probably
material?
The same thematic material because of the scope, like because of how significant the events are in my NaNo story, it really wouldn't fit in the timeline of the other world.
Gotcha.
I mean, it could, but it probably won't.
I finally solidified mine into the timeline and built out the connective tissue between the end of the Suave Rob series and the beginning of this.
So you have this big science fiction, you know, futuristic universe where you're telling a lot of different stories in the same universe. And so everything has to reference a timeline and sort of real world events in your world. How do you keep track of that as a writer? How do you piece it together and then reference it, you know, from the future or the past and all of that?
Well, the easy answer is I fake it, and then and I retcon when I discover I've got poor continuity. Like, a really trivial example is in the beginning of the first Suave Rob book, Jeff is introduced as Jeff Feuerbach, and then later on he's Jeff Marino. So in book two, I noticed that, and I retconned that Jeff Marino is his stage name. So, nice. Because Feuerbach isn't good for branding.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I do stuff like that. But mostly I keep the lives of the characters happen at certain points in the universe. And so in my head, it's this person lived during this era and this person lived during this era. So Joss Kyle lived during the Lunar Revolution. Suave Rob lives 200 years later. And then this new story is set on a partially terraformed Venus. And the last time we've seen Venus in my stories is book three of Suave Rob. So it needs to be at least 500 years after that. So I am now establishing as part of the story background as I'm writing, the kid's in a history class arguing with his teacher. And so we're hearing some of the history that joins the two up. So somewhere, actually, I do have a set of timelines that I ultimately want to fill in. And I'll have to finish the Cobra Khan Ascendancy because that's like Game of Thrones level intricate, and I have to have references.
That
takes place over like about 40 years altogether.
Yeah, it takes place over the course of about 40 years. And I've got a wiki going, my own Wikipedia for that whole continuity. But when it comes to the further back you zoom out, the less I have to remember.
Right, exactly.
It's kind of like with real history.
Yeah.
You know, if you're writing something now, it's handy to know about the British Empire and the Roman Empire, but you don't have to remember the precise succession of monarchs.
Right.
Whereas if you're writing historical fiction in that era, you have to have a much more granular.
Okay, so that makes sense. So for your 500 years in the future terraformed Venus, you just have to know that it's going to take approximately 500 years for them to get to the technological stage that they need to be for you to tell the story you want to tell, kind of a thing.
Right, and because I have no other continuity in there, I can fill in whatever I want, and then I just have to remember anything of that touches other colonies that I may want to use later.
So it just builds out as a web, because now you have this reference point 500 years in the future, and then you can reference off of that if you build in more.
Exactly.
So the part I was particularly curious about for myself, because I'm embarking on an epic and I'm starting to run into the timelines all overlapping, and I need to kind of know for myself when things happen, just so I don't, you know, make stupid continuity mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was curious more about like tools. So it sounds like you use Wiki. What's your timeline that you want to fill in? Do you just have it in a...
I can't remember the name of the plugin. I actually got a MediaWiki plugin.
Okay.
And then
so you can
for
get some visual.
Right. And for some of the books, I've actually, for like Free Will, and this winter I go dive into the rewrite on that, so I'll pull this back up. But I used a scheduling app, Project Manager, to make a Gantt chart.
Yep.
So that I could see where every character's timeline was.
Okay.
And then I also did a task flow chart, and each task was a scene that they were in. And so they map out how they coincide.
Okay.
So I mean, project management software is stupidly useful for this.
Yeah. I'd about come down to the best thing I'm going to find is Gantt charts and then just figure out how to make it work. I mean, I like the whole traditional style timeline where you have the line with the dates or even a day or week broken down, and then up above and below you can put your elements. And I could make an illustrated version of that easily because I'm an illustrator. I can draw it on Illustrator, but it's so time consuming to kind of design something and put everything in place, and then if you need to change it. So ideally, I'd like to find a Gantt chart.
Okay,
perfect.
Yeah.
You can drag and drop.
All right. So for Free Will, there were two things I did. One was the Gantt chart, and the other was I used a MediaWiki timeline plugin. Like that, I just looked on Wikipedia, found a good timeline, and then figure out what plugin they were using.
Okay.
I wound up doing several timelines. One was the meta timeline, where I plugged every one of the books that I've written into the timeline with a year, so I could look at the timeline and see what order they happen in. And then for the 9 different point of view plots in Free Will, I timelined each of them, and I just ran them on top of each other on the same scale, so I could see who was when and where. Because I had any time they were references being somewhere in that series, every chapter has a date stamp. Could see, and actually a time stamp too. So if like Percy and Allie were in the same place just an hour apart, it would show up on the timeline.
And so you ended up doing that with the plugin for the MediaWiki. That ended up being the thing that gave you that power. Okay. I'm definitely going to have to look into that.
Yeah, and editing, it's a breeze. It's just like lines of text.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. This date, this is, you know, in the brackets, this is what you want to show up in the text box. And
oh, okay. I've always aspired to write an epic scale story, and I've just, you know, I've been writing a lot of little stuff and intimidated and not really knowing how to jump into it. Now that I've jumped into it, I'm discovering, like, there's a lot of complexity there that you have to track and keep.
I mean, I was hoping I would get popular enough halfway through the series that, like, George R.R. Martin, my fans would come in and do the thing.
Do it all.
But I got halfway through and realized that I couldn't release anything because it was all one story, and I was jumping back to the first bit, to the first book, to tweak things here and there, and it was all live, so I can't release it till all six volumes are done. So that's out the window, so I've got to do it all myself.
All you, yeah.
That's right.
And now, will you make that reference available for your fans?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, yeah,
that's,
nice.
That's another free property.
Yeah.
I organize it, and, you know, it's another book.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I might illustrate that if I happen to be awake when that releases.
Well, that's it for us today. We'll all be back, and hopefully more of us will be back tomorrow to check in again and get into more trouble. Until then, goodbye. The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.